This leadership class is very inspiring to me. It is really making me a better person.
I've learned so much in this class about myself, and I've noticed how you can't change somebody else. You have to change yourself before you can change anything else, and I think Tony.
Be kind to everyone that you meet.
This leadership class that Tony did a great job with leading, it has pushed me to push myself.
Brick by Brick. This time, it's season 4, and it's bigger and better than what it's ever been before. We've got old guests returning, we've got new guests coming, we've got no guests, we've got some guests, we've just got some bricks to put on top of bricks to put on top of bricks to put on top of bricks. You get the idea. Listen, enjoy this moment. You've come to this podcast because life brought you here. You've attracted it, you deserve it. Yours, so let's get it. Let's open this up. It's hard to treat people better than they treat you when all you look at or when all you can see is their mess. No matter how exceptional I become, there'll always be a mess. Doesn't matter. Like there, I can become president of the United States. I can save the world from a comet. Let's go bigger. I can say the word from an asteroid the size of Texas, and I'm still going to have a mess. I may not have to pay taxes again, right, because I'm sure enough going to negotiate that with the United States government. I promise you that if I save the whole world. But the mess will always be there. So let's go to the book, first page of the preface, which is page 15. I want to read to you a story. Read if you find something last time. I want to read to you a story that shows you how a vertical leader, someone who looks up instead of looking at messes, avoids looking at people's messes. Emily dreamed of serving as a peace officer, just like her father. As a child, she played cops and robbers with two brothers, but she always ended up being the robber because she couldn't make it over the wall on the obstacle course they built. So, Deanna, that's you, right? I'm older. You're the robber. You're not the cop, right? My favorite color is red. Yours is blue. You can't be like me. Their father had taken them to visit the police academy and had told them that the wall was the final obstacle a new officer had to overcome. They built a mini obstacle course at the house, and her brothers decided that whoever could go over the wall could be a cop, and whoever could not go over the wall would be a robber. Emily would speed through tires, jump over the mud puddle, crawl through the plastic tube, but even on the good day, she could only give 3/4 of the way up the wall. She would fall to the ground with her brothers yelling, "You're the robber again." Year after year, she tried to climb that wall with no success. Never the cop, always the robber. Gradually, that mindset seeped into everything she did. She began to feel that she was a loser, not a champion. After high school graduation, when her dad encouraged her to apply for the police academy, she was worried. The academic test would be easy for her, but Emily feared the obstacle course. Two instructors were assigned to the cadets that prepared them for the physical test. One instructor worked with Emily hard to help live up to the standards set by her father and her brothers. The other instructor didn't say much, but kept an eye on everyone and offered encouragement when necessary. The day of her first attempt, the first instructor berated her, saying, "I heard you can't make it over the wall. Why don't you just go home?" Deep inside, she knew he was right. Her attitude determined her actions, and she hit the ground hard, failing to clear the wall. When the first instructor turned away in disgust, the second tried to stop Emily from giving up, saying, "Where are you going, recruit?" "I'm done," she said. "I'll never be the cop, just a robber." "Who told you that?" asked the instructor. "It's a long story," Emily said. "I'm leaving." "Wait a minute. Here's what I want you to do," he said. "I want you to close your eyes. And imagine helping someone else climb the wall. What? Don't you want me to picture myself climbing the wall? Emily responded with surprise. No, he said. I need you to be at the bottom of the wall, looking up and believing for someone else. Your struggle isn't about you. It's about all of the recruits that you will encourage with your story of getting over the wall. And you would get over that wall, he said firmly. But I haven't climbed the wall yet. How can I help someone else? When you start building others, God will build you, he replied. Emily met Ellen the same day. She considered quitting the academy. Ellen also found that the wall would be an impossible obstacle. With a childlike spirit and a will of a warrior, Emily stopped focusing on herself and started helping Ellen, giving her the encouragement she needed to finally make it over. With arms raised, Ellen yelled, "Yes, we did it." "You mean you did it," said Emily joyfully. "No, we did it. Now it's your turn." For the first time in her life, Emily believed that she could master the wall. She prayed, "God, if you help me climb this wall, I'll try always to focus on others first, because if I do that, I know you'll take care of me." Emily ran to the wall, grabbed the rope with her teammate cheering her on, ran up the wall, leapt over it with her hands lifted high in exhilaration. She learned the most important lesson in leadership: building others ultimately builds you. Now, I don't mean to spiritualize that so much, but that's the book written by one who believes in God, and so it has God in there. But actually, let's open it up for discussion. What just happened there? And while you're asking what's happened, while you're answering what happened there, tell me how the second instructor didn't look at Emily's mess. What happened? Quiet because you're shy? Quiet because you can't see what happened?
He encouraged her to never give up.
Okay.
Despite the reality of the facts, okay, of the fact that she kept falling.
Okay. Okay, so he didn't focus on the fact that she kept falling. He did encourage her. There's no doubt about that. He did encourage her. But sometimes encouragement doesn't help, right? Okay.
What needed to be done?
Okay, both. He focused on what she wanted to do and what needed to be done. Okay? Now, both of those were equally as important, but she couldn't see past what she wanted to do due to her own self-belief. So he made her see what needed to be done. I would say that's number one, right? He took her eyes off her own mess and took her eyes on the end result. Fair enough? All right. There you go. That right there is the key thing. That right there is the key thing. It's not just that he helped her look at the end result. He showed her how to get to the end result. He showed, it was a method in there. It wasn't get over the wall. It was help others get over the wall, then you'll get over the wall. Now, I know this sounds a little spooky, right? It's a bit spiritual, and sometimes you can be so spiritual you're spooky. But you ever help somebody before and they were genuinely grateful? How did you feel when you helped somebody? When they came back to you and said, "You have no idea, I was this close to whatever that was." How did you feel? Okay, grateful, right? Anybody got something more than that? Okay. Okay, fair enough. You feel good because they feel good. Value? How did you feel in your blood, in your heart? adrenaline pumping. Wasn't it a surge of power? A little lifted up. Like the day, no matter what happened that day, couldn't bother you because something good happened. Blessing them. You didn't even remember you said it. They came to you and said, man, you said this. He's like, really? I don't remember saying that at all. Yeah, that's what you got out of it? Okay. And especially if you're a public speaker, you think that was the worst you ever did. And someone came back and was blessed as they've ever been. And you're grateful for that. Something more is there. When you help people in that manner and you help them well, and you feel this surge of energy that just gets you, and it's just amazing. What else do you want to do? Do you want to stop at that one person? You feel fired up to help as many as you can. Now, let's talk about that for a second. Because on a normal day, that's not the way you feel. You're tired. You don't have enough energy for that. Because people are draining, especially if you're an introvert like myself. Right? People are draining. It's, oh. And for you to now go, I want to help 100 people if I can. You have strength that now you want to take on 100 people. It's something incredibly powerful about lowering yourself. It's something incredibly powerful about pushing other people over the wall and then you getting there next. Here's two things that happen for you. One or the other, or both and the other. One, when you help them over the wall, you'll find energy, you'll find strength that you've never seen before that you get over the wall yourself. You see this in fact, the Olympics are on right now as we speak. You see this in the Olympics. World record is being broken. But now, second, third, and fourth place would have also broke the world record had number one not broke the world record, because number one drug everyone's time by spirit of competition, keeping up with the rabbit. Does that make sense? So seeing people over the wall makes you realize there's no wall. I can do that too. Roger Bannister, the guy who first broke the 4-minute mile. It would never be done. Scientists were like, well, listen, the gravity, the G-force, the pressure, they had all these scientific, like, evidence. I could just imagine they had, like, chalkboards, the blackboards with all the chalk, and they were smearing it, had all the numbers and stuff that people can't understand. We can't do this. The human body can't take that pressure. He broke it. When he broke it, like, 6 other people the same year broke what was impossible. Why? Because they saw him get over the wall first. And he drug them. And now we've been breaking the 4-minute miles ever since. Ever since. We've been breaking it ever since. So when you get over, you find strength that pulls you over. But let's say that doesn't happen. What would happen if you push somebody over the wall and they actually remember you pushed them over the wall and you can't get up that wall? What do you think will happen? They come back for you. Now, how many of you have had people come back for you in your lifetime? Right? Because if you can't get over the wall, you just got me up. And I'm actually got a little bit of decent human decency. Thank you. I'm going to stay on the pivot of that wall. Use my feet as a lever. Come on over here, grab me as hard as you can. Even if I have to hurt my ribs, right? Even by the time I get you over that wall, if my ribs hurt, you scratch my hand, my arm almost went out of socket. When we both got over that wall, it was worth it. Make sense? That's exceptional leadership. But what caused the exceptional leadership? The person pulling the person over the wall, or the person who says, stand on my back? I'll get you over. At some point, You must be an exceptional leader. That's not to say, forget the whole idea of being forgotten. We have enough unexceptional leaders. It's enough. Like, they're not doing you any favors, and you're not doing them any favors. But for those who are exceptional, you move mountains for them. Anybody here have somebody in your life that you would literally move mountains for? Now watch this here. Anybody got somebody in your life that's not related to you that you would literally move mountains for? Okay, now watch this here. How many of you would move mountains for people, and when you think about it, those you're not related to that you move mountains for outweigh the number of people who are actually related to you? Now, maybe you have decent families. It's not about being decent or not. It's just something about what Jaretta said earlier. Since I don't have to choose to be around you, I can also not choose to be exceptional for you. Does that make sense? Because I'm here. Like, I did my job. I did my job. But when I make a choice to be around you, I tend to give more effort. A lot of us are on our way somewhere amazing. And everybody in here, a couple of ways to say it. Everybody in here, you have all the seeds inside of you to be exactly what you want to be. That's the way I like to say it. Some people say everyone in here has genius level talent. However you want to say it, all of you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And you have exactly what you already need. You just don't have nobody to pull it out. And the people around you that should pull it out, they don't. Or once again, multipliers. And I say again, if you're working in an atmosphere or for someone and you don't want to be there, you're not exceptional leaders. No matter how much you love them, no matter how much you respect them, they're not exceptional leaders. This class is already coming. Right? That has to do with this. Right? It's already here. Right? Vertical leaders is what the name of this book is. Lead vertical, excuse me. Lead vertically. Exceptional, like you found out from me, exceptional leaders. So why is it important to treat people? Actually, let's say it this way. Who in here is willing to take a chance, and maybe I'm right, and start treating people better than they treat you? Okay, got one hand, three hands. Yeah, you already started. So that's everybody in the room. So individually, let's start with you in the back. Speak loud. But you've been doing it all week. But why? Why are you willing to do it? Fair enough. She said, I want more in life, and I'm not going to get there, and I quote, treating the fools like they deserve. I believe that's absolutely fair. I believe it's fair to say, I want more in life, and I'm no longer going to let my harvest be affected by how I treat people. I think that's fair. Can we clap for that, please? That was an incredible revelation. That was incredible, right? Because it's incredible because she, first off, she took responsibility. Like she, in order to say, it makes no sense for me to take my eyes off where I'm trying to go. Not because, she didn't say because of them, because I keep letting what they do distract me from where I want to go. That's what she said, right? Wasn't word for word, but that's what she said. It wasn't, it's their fault that I'm being distracted. It's my fault that I'm letting them distract me, alter my mood, take me from where I want to be and what I want to do. And her original answer was, because I simply want more out of life. Grace? Okay. Grace needs to get better. So you're willing to treat other people way better than they treat you because grace needs to get better. Fair enough. Deanna?
Mm-hmm. Like things are better for me.
Mm.
Like, I use example Ella because I go there on a regular basis at work.
Mm-hmm.
We have some residents that just nag, this, that. My maintenance lady is always like, boss, just do this. You can do it. You know, they deserve it anyway. And all of a sudden, like, It doesn't benefit me to treat them how they treat me.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time I come at them on a positive, you know, every time I treat them better than they treat me, I mean, I get homemade big pies. I get, you know, things are better for me. I prefer to have that emotional feeling, that likeness, instead of treating them a certain way.
Yeah, fair enough. So in summation, you said it over and over again, things are just better for you. So that's why you decide to treat people better than what they treat you. Because when you do, things just get better for you. There's nothing selfish about that. That's actually quite intelligent. To know that you have a better life and it works out for you if you do a thing, that's not selfish. That's intelligence. Make sense? Like, you're not going to put your hand in the fire and know that hurts you, and they go, well, it's selfish if I just don't hurt myself, so let me hurt myself again. No, that's intelligence. Actually, a survival instinct to not hurt yourself. Does that make sense? But we don't think about it that way when it comes to the prosperity and the harvest of our lives. It's a survival instinct to make life better for you. Now, your motives will make life better for you by mistreating people or by treating people better than they treat you.
I think of that scripture that says, God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Okay.
And I look at, you know, here where it says, the logical thing would have been to pay the guest what he realistically deserved.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that if God gave me what I deserve,
oh Lord,
because of my sin, the wages of sin is death. And so when I realized the grace that God has demonstrated for me, I didn't deserve it. It wasn't because of the way I live my life. Then I have to give that same grace to other humans,
yeah,
whether they deserve it or not.
So for you, it's quite simple. I'm supposed to, basically. Like, it's my duty, my reasonable service is what your King James would have said, since you brought up the Bible. Your reasonable service. He did it for me. I need to do it for them. That's actually incredibly biblically accurate. All right. Shannon, your last one.
I have a lot of time to think, so. Four reasons why I accepted the challenge.
Sweet.
Nicely, I was not treating them as good as they were treating me.
Wow.
I was just kind of keeping everything together, you know. Because for some people, treating them as good as they were treating me, I needed to separate myself from them. But to keep from separating, I stayed. stayed close, and that was treating them horribly, but to them it was treating them good. And so I had to stop hurting people, and I had to, people would view it as something bad, severing, but it was really something good because staying connected was treating them horribly. Staying separating was accepting truth about me and then treating them well by staying away from them.
Can we clap for that, please? So, that's incredible.
The next one, and I'll be quick because I know it's time to go.
No, no, you got the time.
The next one is that I realized that I was choosing who I was going to be exceptional to. I can't choose. Like, it's some people, and it goes with my fourth one, it's some people that I was intentionally, exceptionally good to. And those people have blessed my life tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's to the point now where I'm like, I'm not really sure who's being better to the other one, you know? But I was choosing, and this challenge takes away the choice. I have to do it to everyone, and I just have to be honest. A lot of times, and it's hard for me to admit, it was hard for me to hear it about myself, but sometimes I'm not totally honest with people to save their feelings or to just to not be as real with them because I don't want to hurt them, and in turn, it really is hurting them, and it's not treating them well. So, I have a whole bunch of reasons why I'm accepting.
Keep going. We got time.
No, that's it. That's okay. Why. I'm that's just saying that's like, it was really convicting for me because it was something that, had I not probably been in this class, I wouldn't have even paid attention to it because most people will tell, oh, Shannon, she treats me well. Shannon, she, not like Shannon knows she needs to treat you.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
It kind of caused you to look on the inside of yourself.
I mentor someone that's not in this class, and I don't mean like presently absent. I mean, it's not even enrolled in this class. And I tell this person all the time, and I'm glad that's why I clap when she said it. You claim to be a positive person, and all your social media says you're a positive person, and you get all these positive person clothing, and you positive, 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 but you're not. And it was very angry with me. Very, very angry with me. I am, because I treat you. Yeah, you do. But you choose who you want to be positive with. And you totally disregard and disrespect anyone that you don't think brings value into your life. And that's not positive. And I don't even mentor, well, I do mentor, but I don't. I try, but I don't. People let you do what they want. And think about this for a second, mathematically. There are exponentially greater numbers of people not adding value to your life that you encounter every day than there are people adding value to your life that you encounter every day. So mathematically, when you take out your ego and philosophy and emotion, whatever it is, mathematically, you're really bad on a scale of 1 to 100 or 0 to 100. When, because you're only positive to 1 to 2% of the people in your life. So that literally means until you change, you would have died in this world only doing well to people of 2% of the people that you've ever met. That is disgraceful and distasteful. You don't get to choose who you treat well. But since you guys brought up the Bible, let's do that.
I just want to say ouch.
Yeah, no doubt, right? But here's the deal. This is brother Bible. Let's bring up that. And it's not even called scripture. This is called common sense any religion, right? This is, if they matter to your God, they should matter to you. Period. Yeah, that should never change. And let's say you're not religious. Okay, if they matter to this parent, if they matter to somebody, they should automatically matter to you. And you treat people in that manner. I've told you guys this here before months ago. You don't get to treat me nice and then mistreat the waiter because you want something from me. You don't get to close a business deal with whoever you're trying to impress and be rude to the person that you're not trying to impress. That is not good, but it's also the true nature of your character. You can intentionally front in front of me all you want, or intentionally put up a facade all you want. But the truth is, how you treated that waiter or waitress is the true nature of your character. I've been watching, so let's talk about the Olympics again. I've been pushing the phone for me. I've been watching a lot of things happen in these Olympics, and it's been amazing because Olympics tend to bring out the Olympic spirit. But what I've really been watching is headlines. It says a lot about an organization. I'm not going to name any organization because I'm recording. But it says a lot about an organization when a woman breaks a record, world record, and is the subtitle to the headline, when a man places silver or bronze, not to discount second or third. Because all that's just showing up at the Olympics is an honor, being able to be qualified. But it says a lot about the true nature of this organization when women don't have the right to be seen as victorious first. Does that make sense? So it makes no sense for me to talk about leadership and disrespect women. You do understand that. Like, that makes no sense. It makes no sense for me to give you a voice, but not have an open door policy in my business. Does that make sense? It makes no sense for me to be a pastor, give grace to my members, but not to my family. We don't get to choose who we treat better than we treat ourselves. So that's why you've been here. You've been here for this challenge, and you don't even know it, but I'm going to tell you, sorry. I'm going to tell you, tonight's challenge is worse than what this challenge is. So if you missed it last week, I challenged everybody. For the rest of the week, treat people.
Is it the
week? Oh. No, I got it. No. Watch this here. Watch this here. Well, I said for the rest of the year, didn't I? But watch this. No, I said for yesterday. Okay, watch this here. I did say for the rest of the month. That's what I said. Well, okay, but hold on. Okay, we'll take the week. I said, treat people better than they treat you. At least twice. That was a challenge, and they hated it. But not because they were bad people. It takes effort to smile at someone stabbing you. Right? Here's tonight's challenge, and I'm going to build on it. And tonight's challenge lasts the rest of 2016. I want you, everybody ready? For the rest of 2016, since you all are believers, I want you to say one prayer for the rest of the year. Lord, make me the least offended person.
Oh, wait a minute.
On planet Earth. That's your challenge. Make me the least offended person. Oh, play. I should see Tippett's face back there. Sure. Fair enough. Okay, that's what's going
to
happen. That's for sure.
When people say, don't pray for patience, they're going to give it to you.
Okay, yeah. He's gonna say people to try your patience. No, I was going to explain. That's a good question. So remember, the whole theme here is treat people better than they treat you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I'm saying is let people be, you become the least offended person, no matter what people do to you. You will not be offended.
That's good. Don't take it personally.
Yes. That says a whole lot. To not be offended means to look at the person's actions and separate it from their personality. To there you go. She has it. And then react.
God is not going to just make people stop offending
me. No, not at all.
You're saying that people are going to be offensive, yeah. But I'm not supposed to take offense.
That's right.
Well, he just needs to step in and just...
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? He just stepped in and just worked it out? But you know he ain't going to do that. No. He wants you to step in. Yeah, he wants you to step in, right? No, and that wasn't an embarrassing question because I was getting ready to explain it, but I'm glad she did that. And I'm certainly glad she did because she had a perfect answer. To know that they just offended you and to separate their offense and then treat them as if they never did it. See, that takes this weekly challenge from last week or 2 weeks ago and pushes it. It escalates it. It hypers it exponentially. Yes, universally.
I promise today, this one dude didn't meet him. He had a backpack on. And I was sitting, my back was to him. I didn't know at the time. But I just felt this. And I'm like, what in the world? Dude hit me with his backpack. He didn't mean it. But I was
offended.
I was like, oh, okay.
Thank you. So here's how this looks. All right, Dre, did you have something to say?
No, I mean, I like it.
Yeah.
And so it's the enemy who came
right.
to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
And so sometimes I have to catch myself because I want to lash out at a person.
That's right.
But then I realize this is not about Tony. This is about Satan. It's like I recognize. Mm-hmm. And so then I have to separate Tony from
the actions.
Right. And still love Tony.
That's right.
Even though that thing
I'm unlovable. I did it on purpose, and I wanted you to suffer. Like this is coming. Like, I want Jaretta to hurt. Yeah, she's supposed to love me, right? So she's quoted this great scripture. So let's take that, and let's say it without the scripture so I can catch the rest of you who are like, but I don't understand the Bible. I know, yeah, she thumbs down for grace. So maybe it's not the principality. Maybe it's not the evil. Maybe it's not the spirit, although it is, right? We know it is. Maybe it's, I'm not going to mistreat you because it adds no value to this world. It makes no difference for this world. I'm not going to mistreat you because if I mistreat you, it literally deters or delays me from the greatness that I have in my life. Got it? So we're saying the same thing. No, go ahead, please. I just said it non-spiritually.
Like, if I'm mistreating you, what does that do to your life?
Okay, so that's my inner statements. That's my inner statements. But go ahead. So, and the answer is what?
It's, I just make things worse for you as well. So, it's just transferring negativity, basically.
Pretty much. Here's the deal. No, they don't make it right. Go ahead.
Was there a third point? I
don't know. Yeah. What was I talking about? It was a third point. It was.
I guess
you treat them twice as good because. Right. Right, and the third one was they'll help you over the wall. I did bring it back in. Yeah, I did bring it back in. They'll help you over the wall when you help them. So I did bring it back in. Just forgot to say number three. So here's the deal. You're right. If you mistreat them, they mistreat you, there's nobody's helping. But here's the deal. All of you are getting ready to be mistreated. You can't accept this challenge without being mistreated. Like, it's not, like, if you're spiritual, you know the Lord just, like, totally start clapping. And he's like, all right, send her at him. Some of y'all are going to walk out of here with a text message that's about to offend you. Like, before you even get out of here, it's going to happen. Or the person you roll with. Is right, but here's the power in this here, because you're right by saying if you mistreat people, it hurts them. But you're also wrong. You're right thinking with the perception that you have. But I have a choice. See, I can't control what you do to me, but I can control what I do to you. Now, you may bother me for 5 minutes, so maybe you hurt my feelings, whatever it is. But every single thing in this world is a seed. Every single thing you do, every action you make is a seed in which you plant into the ground. You know, guys, I say this all the time. And when you put it to the ground, it's going to develop a harvest, whether you want it to or not. Now, it makes no sense scientifically to let you pour a bad seed into me. As of right now, that's okay. That's going to happen. But that's your garden. That's yours to reap. What you did to me is not mine to reap. It's not even mine to react to. If I pause and then plant a good seed into you, I never reap anything bad. You just did something bad to me. Does that make sense scientifically? What you do to me is your garden. You got to eat that. But what I do to you is my garden. I have to eat that. What doesn't make sense is for you to make me plant a bad seed in my garden. That is absolutely ignorant. It is not of intelligence, and it is the way we've been living our lives.
Giving somebody else power.
That's right.
And so this challenge, we're taking that power back.
And the only thing... So some of the people, you have no idea. You're not thinking about it until I'm finna say it. Some people control your mood by simply walking in the room. And the moment they walk in the room, they alter your whole mood and make you uncomfortable. How dare you give someone so much power to where they affect the space in which you are currently residing? Especially when it's neutral space. They don't have power over that space. All of a sudden, they have the power to make you uncomfortable. I'm not saying be arrogant. I'm not even saying cut them off. I'm saying let's no longer be offended. Because what I do to you is my garden. And this is just science. This isn't just, there's no Bible in this here. Just no, although it's there implicitly. This, I'm just talking straight science. What I do to you, I have to reap in my own garden. What you do to me, you have to reap in your garden. I had to see that seed, or I had to feel that action, but that ain't in my garden. That's something I have to look at on the outside of my garden. Does that make sense? Because if I walk away from you, or if I pause on you, what you just did never gets planted. It just hit me like a rock. Some rocks are big. Some rocks hurt. But it's not something that I have to live with. It's something that hit me. And I can deal with stuff that hit me. What I can't deal with is stuff that I have to live with until I run out of that harvest. Some of these harvests, they last a long time. In life, you have the ability to plant seeds that last years. Some of your credit seeds last 7 years before it can go away. Some of your criminal background seeds last up to 10 years before it can go away. Not all seeds last a couple of days. So, my friend here, Shannon, was correct. One of the greatest things she ever did was not deal with a few people, not out of anger, because she was hurting them, by simply being around. We all have that. And for some of us, we are that person, or we are the offender being that person. So rest of this year, have no other prayer. That's not to say you can't pray. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying your one goal, your one main objective, let me be the least offended person on planet Earth. Now, I'm not telling you something I haven't done. I did this in 2012, which was the hardest year of my life. And I actually started it about June 2012. Hardest year of my life. It was already hard, so I figured I had nothing to lose. And I was getting offended from all sorts of places. But this is why today you can crush me and I just won't react. And believe me, I was one of the greatest reactors on planet Earth. I was a nuclear reactor. I literally would go nuclear on people, explode. That was me. It's not me anymore. It's not to say I'm perfect. It's not to even say it doesn't bother me. But I'll never plant that seed. It can bother me. In fact, Tempest was with me Monday. This is an actual true story that happened to me Monday. Here's where we end. This actual true story. I left Bible study. Since I'm a pastor, I left Bible study teaching Monday. And it was pouring down raining. And the gas gauge in the truck that I was driving does not work. And I literally ran out of gas. And I had to throw the car into neutral. And just so be that I pulled into a gas station, right? The problem was I had nanoseconds to react because the gas station was full. And there was one parking spot available. And I pull in parallel to the pump. Perfect. The problem was the pump was not on that side. And it's pouring down raining. And I can't ask for any help because everyone's a stranger, which I would have still did it. But it's pouring down raining. And who's going to get in the rain to help me push a truck that has no gas in it up to a three-point turn just to turn it around? I literally was so, I had to go inside the gas station, pay $20 for a gas tank, the portable thing, then put $20 in the gas tank, put enough in the gas tank to put in the actual gas tank on the truck just to turn it up and to move it backwards, only, and then I had to sit the gas tank on the little, you know how you get the little windshield wiper stuff? Okay, I had to sit it on that, because if I put it back on the hook, it would have ended, only to put it back in, and the whole time it's still pouring out rain, and I'm in a suit. And, all right, cool, that doesn't bother me. But you know what bothered me? Here I am, pastor, pouring into people. 10 minutes ago, and I don't have no help. Now, that may not bother you, but let me tell you, oh, that tugged at me. Oh, that tugged at me good. That tugged at me real good, and it literally altered my mood. And Tempest is trying to cheer me up, and I'm not saying anything. And she picks up on that because she's an incredible empath. And she, no, 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 you okay. She goes into her little, oh my God, don't flip out, don't. And then it goes to, I'm sad for you because you're sad. And I said, I'm affected. Well, let's talk about it. And I told her no. And she said, why? And I said, I'm not being rude. If I complain, I plant the seed. So I literally stayed quiet, and I was mad and then sad and then disgusted, but I refused to speak it because the moment I did, I would have planted that seed. I'm not saying it was easy, and as a man, it hurt my pride. And when I finally did start talking, she'll tell you, she was right there. I said, you know what? I'm glad that I was at the gas station. I'm glad I had enough cash in my pocket to go buy the pump. And I start saying about all the little stuff I was glad about. And I get to this, so I get it spooky, I get it spiritual. But I start feeling better by speaking and talking about what I had instead of what was actually bothering me. And that was Monday. Today's Wednesday, and I haven't thought about that incident until just now. But had I focused on it, I'd have been there. So what am I saying? Because of that least offended prayer that I prayed, I didn't let that offend me too long. I'm not saying that I'm invincible. I'm not saying that I don't get upset. But I'm not speaking it. And I didn't, and I cared enough about her trying to calm me down to explain to her what I was doing, because I didn't want her to feel like she's helping, but I don't want to help. So I wanted to take care of her without complaining, so I clearly identify what I was doing, so she doesn't feel ineffective, and so she doesn't feel affected by my current mood too much. Of course she's affected. She's a friend, so of course she's affected. Be the least offended person. It's hard. She says she's not accepted that challenge. She's not accepted that challenge, right? No doubt. There's some cake here. Accept that cake. Before we get out of here. But listen, because she's going to accept the challenge because she's right with me. I'm riding with her. She's going to accept the challenge. Listen, seriously, from this moment, we build on this. Next week, I tell you why to be the least offended person, how important you are. But you'll see. Here's the deal. Get to the point.
There's something inside of you that nobody can take from you, that nothing can ever come against, that nothing can ever stop. You were meant to be great. You were meant to be the most amazing you that has ever lived. Nobody can speak with your voice better than you. You have come here to be amazing. Not average, not good, not great, amazing. And then when you reach amazing, you exceed that and you go to spectacular. This is your time. Build your life brick by brick. You are enough. You've been enough. You will always be enough. You can only be nothing but enough. And then more than that, you are the greatest. Build your life. Be it, do it, see it, and then give it back to others. Brick by brick.